Highland Falls, El Paso, Clarksville, Watertown, and from other important military capitals around the globe. Eye on Defense brings the top military and defense issues into focus. Eye on Defense is proudly sponsored by Big Sarge Pre-Owned TA-50 Emporium and The Last Hope Jewelry and Pawn. And now, citizens of Earth, brace yourselves for the next episode of Eye on Defense. 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 Defense.
All right, we're back. Welcome to episode number 23. Let me check that. Yep, 23 of the Eye on Defense podcast. Just a reminder that we are on Twitter, and our Twitter handle is at defense underscore podcast. So we try to, try to tweet every day, and we put alerts up that, hey, when we upload a new episode, we'll put an alert on Twitter too. So check us out on Twitter. And it's a good way to check us out on the podcast and just kind of keep up with what we're doing day to day. So today, we're going to talk about two things today. First, and the two things are radars. There's a really good article in Defense Daily. Defense Daily is a website I just got hooked up to. It's one of those pay sites where you have to pay to a subscription site where you have to pay to keep, access to it. That's a good word, access to it. But I got a free account for 30 days. Introductory account, and I kind of looked at the pricing on it, and it's a little out of my price range, but it's a great site. They got a lot of good information, a lot of good reporters. Defense Daily, if you have the, check it out. So that's the first thing we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about counterfire radars, air defense radars, and a mortar radar. Just kind of, it was good research for me just to get up to speed on all this stuff. And the second thing we're talking about, kind of a follow-up from the last episode where we talked about machine guns. We'll talk about machine guns, which is always one of my favorite subjects. So we'll start off right now with Defense Daily article. The name of the article is Lockheed Martin has delivered the first five Sentinel A4 radars to the Army. It's written by Matthew Beinart, B-E-I-N-A-R-T. We've covered his stuff before. The article's from 10 June. And by the way, today is 12 June. It's around 10 o'clock at night. Hopefully you don't hear, the toads are going crazy outside. It's a late spring night, early summer. Sounds like a UFO landing out behind the house there. So if you hear that, that's all those toads out there. So we'll get right into it. In just a second. Stand by. All right, so here we go. So Lockheed Martin is the contractor. Lockheed Martin officially delivered the first five Sentinel A4 radars to the Army in late May, the company said this week. And these systems are going to operational test. The first batch of A4 radars will replace the Sentinel A3 radars, Sentinel A3s built by Thales and Raytheon Technologies, and will be followed by a delivery of a second group of five more starting next March. So the Army's got five coming, and in March they'll get five more. So what do these Sentinel radars do? Well, I went right to the source. Well, actually, I didn't go. I did went to Lockheed Martin, but I also went to the Army website for it. And the Army website is asc.army.mil, web portfolio item ANMPQ-64 Sentinel. So according to the Army, the ANMPQ-64 Sentinel is what we're talking about, provides persistent air surveillance and fire control quality through command and control systems to defeat unmanned aerial systems, cruise missiles, fixed and rotary wing threats. It provides persistent air surveillance and quality fire control data to the warfighter through command and control systems to defeat those things I just said, UAS, cruise missiles, fixed and rotary wing threat. So it's kind of an air defense system. It's got a range of 42 miles. It's all-weather 360-degree capability, and it supports indirect fire protection capability increment 2 system. It's it's on a trailer. It could be pulled by a Humvee or an LMTV, which is like a deuce and a half, 2.5 ton truck. It has a generator, and it's integrated with the integrated air and missile defense system, which we know is part of the one of the priorities for Army modernization priorities. That's one of them. And just to catch you up on that, that priority is the air and missile defense. And remember, under the air and missile defense priorities, there were some efforts. One was the Army Integrated Air and Missile Defense System, MSHORAD, which is Maneuver Short Range Air Defense, Indirect Fire Protection Capability, and lower tier air and missile defense sensor. So the radars we're going to talk about today are part of the Army Integrated Air and Missile Defense System, which is what the Sentinel does. And then later we're going to get into radars that cover the indirect fire protection capability, I do believe. So back to the article. Lockheed Martin was awarded the potential $280 million low-rate initial production contract for Sentinel A4 in September 2019, which includes options for delivery up to 18 of the new versions of the 64 AN MPQ-64 Sentinel radars. Last October, Lockheed Martin said the Army had awarded the company an accelerated contract to begin production on the additional five that we just talked about. So like we said, they got to do some operational tests, and some of the things they're looking at for the operational tests will be mobility, environmental, radar performance, and logistics testing. And this upgraded version of the Sentinel radar, which we already know what it does, apparently it can identify and track multiple threats simultaneously, including cruise missiles, unmanned systems, all that stuff we just talked about. I don't know if it could do that before, but apparently it can do it now. So that's it. The Army's getting, in the future, I think they're operating off the A3s, and now they're going to, at some point, going to get an A4. And it'd be interesting to find out how many of these suckers are out there in the Army. I have no idea. I do know that they are, they're air defense protectors, but I'm not sure how many. I guess they guard fixed sites and stuff like that. But anyway, the AN-MPQ-64 Sentinel radar. So while we were talking about radars, by the way, this story was also reported by Breaking Defense. Breaking Defense called the story, Lockheed delivers the first five A4 radars to the Army. So I guess pretty important story, enough for two magazines to cover it, Breaking Defense and Defense Daily. So it got me thinking about, you know, if you're keeping up with what's going on in Ukraine, there's a lot of artillery systems that have been sent to Ukraine from the United States and others. And part of that package always includes radar, which is part of the, I guess the radar, the artillery battery will have a radar package for counterfire, which we kind of briefly discussed. Whenever an enemy artillery unit fires and there's radar that can kind of pick up that point of origin where the battery was firing, and then next thing you know, here comes artillery from the other side. And there's actually videos that are showing that in Ukraine. I saw one today where the Russian forces fired at, where they were, for some reason they were filming themselves. I think they had a reporter there. They were filming themselves firing a mission. They fired the mission, and within, you know, 60 seconds, counter battery fire came in. And within a minute and a half, that film crew and the soldiers were geared up and they were moving out, because that's how short it took. It took a minute and a half for the counter battery to engage that round. And that's all down to the radar. So we just talked about one type of radar. That's an air defense radar. And the second type of radar we're going to talk about is the AN-TPQ-53. Now, I do believe the United States sent Q-36 radars, which is a counter-battery radar. And what this Q-53 is, counter-fodder target acquisition radar, it's what the United States is using now. It's kind of like a very, very good Q-36. And just give you a description of it, the The Q53 provides next generation answer to the aging legacy firefighter radars, which is Q36 and Q37, by providing improved acquisition and identification of mortar, artillery, and rocket munitions in the 90-degree mode, and introducing the capability to operate in a 360-degree mode at ranges greater than the ANTP Q50, which we'll talk about in a second. So compared to the I'm just going to call it Q36 and Q37. I'm not going to go through all the ANTPQ stuff no more. So compared to the Q36 and Q37, the Q53 offers enhanced performance, including greater mobility, increased reliability, supportability, lower life cycle costs, reduced crew size, and the ability to track targets in a full spectrum environment. So basically, the specifications for this Q53 is in the 90-degree mode. You can pick up a mortar from 5 to 20 kilometers away, artillery 3 to 34 kilometers away, and a rocket from 5 to 60. If you operate in a 360-degree detection mode, your range is reduced. So for mortars, you only get 3 to 15K, artillery 5 to 20K, and rockets from 5 to 20K. So if you go 360 from 90, you're going to lose 5K on mortars, you're going to lose 14K on artillery, and you're going to lose 40K on rockets. And they have a probability of location greater or equal to 85% in a clutter-free environment. I'm sorry. The crew is 5 soldiers. Takes 10 minutes to emplace and 5 minutes to displace. Remember, we talked about how important it is to, you know, get out of there. You can ship it by air, rail, or ship. And it's probably towed by something. Maybe I said that already. Yeah, like the one we just talked about, the Sentinel. I'm sure it's towed. Yep, it's towed. There's a photograph on it. You can't see the photograph, obviously. But it looks like there's 6 wheels, so that's a 5-ton vehicle that's towing it. It's mobile, maneuverable, fully supportable, and easily maintained. And you can find this at asc.army.mil, web portfolio. Just look up that and then look up ANTPQ53. You can read it for yourself. So anyway, that's the second type of radar. Third type of radar we're going to talk about is the one that was referred to you just a second ago, the Q50. And the Q50 is just the name of it is lightweight counter-mortar radar. It's real small. The Q50 is highly mobile because it's so small. Counterfire again. And so you see the difference already. The Sentinel is for air targets. Rotary wing, UAVs, fixed wing, and these other radars, these counterfighter radars, the Q53, the Q36, Q37, and now the Q50, they are kind of ground artillery and rocket and mortar stuff. So kind of a difference there. So the Q50 is very mobile, is for the brigade combat teams, which we've talked about here before, and field artillery brigades and division artilleries. The system provides 360-degree coverage between ranges of 500 meters to 10K, which is like 6 miles, while automatically detecting, classifying, tracking, and locating points of origin, also known as POO, not kidding, projectiles fired from mortar, artillery, and rocket systems. The system is fielded in a vehicle-mounted configuration, pulled by a Humvee, and can be mounted in a tripod configuration. So you can keep it in the vehicle, or you can take it out and set it up. The Q50 can quickly detect, track, classify, and accurately determine the point of origin of enemy indirect fires and provide projectile impact locations with sufficiency accuracy to warn soldiers and provide point of origin information for engagement. And that's what it's all about. It can be assembled quickly by 2 soldiers. It's not very big. Here's some specifications. It can detect mortars from 500 meters to 10K. Artillery from 1K to 10K and rockets from 1K to 10K, which is a lot different than that Q53. The Q53's got much better range. I mean, the max range of this Q50 is 10K. The max range of this thing, the Q53, is 60K. I take that back. In the 360 mode, the max range is 20K. So it doubles the range of the Q50. Let's see. Again, probability of greater than or equal to 85% detection. It can be pulled by a Humvee. Got a crew of two. And placement is 20 minutes. Displacement is 10 minutes. Yeah, kind of like the other one. 10 minutes and 5 minutes. That must be a requirement. So there you go. According to this, there's at least 109 of these things out there, of the Q50. So today we kind of have a summary. Hope I wasn't rambling too much. We talked about the Q53 and the Q3637 briefly. That's what the Q53 is replacing. It's a counterfire target acquisition radar. And then we talked about the Q50, which is kind of a mini version of those. Lightweight. They call it the lightweight counter-mortar radar, LCMR. And then we talked about the Sentinel, which was the kind of the main focus, was that Sentinel A4 that the Army's getting, which is replacing the A3. So I wasn't really sure about all these radars, and I'm a lot smarter now. So when you see anything on the Ukraine, any packages of stuff being sent to Ukraine, and they're talking about radars, or they're talking about radar systems, well, now you know what they're talking about. Basically two types. There's counter-mortar, rocket, and artillery, and then there's counter-air. So there you go. Hope I didn't ramble on too much. Second topic is going to be about machine guns. We talked about this a little bit, I think, last episode. We did. Remember, we went on and on and on about the M240 family of weapons and why the U.S. Army is not asking for money in the FY23 budget to apply to the, acquisition of M240s, which is a medium machine gun. And then we talked about, you know, the PAC study and how it's going to affect the M240. Will it be able to be replaced by the 6.8 XM250? And then somebody was mentioning the 338 machine gun, Norma Magnum, which is, I guess it's a round that's bigger than a 7.62. Kind of a fill of role between a medium machine gun at 7.62 and a heavy machine gun at 50 caliber, which I think 50 cal is 12.7 millimeter. Anyway, and I read somewhere about a 338 machine gun. And sure enough, there is such thing as a 338 machine gun. It's made by Sig Sauer. And we know who Sig Sauer is by now. They make the pistol and they make the next gen squad weapon. And they've got their foothold in U.S. special operations. Because since 2020, and this is an article from a long time ago, Task and Purpose, and the date of the article is, where is the date? January 20. And basically the article says that U.S. Special Operations Command has officially taken delivery of Sig Sauer's MG338 machine gun. And so SOCOM, which is kind of the acronym for U.S. Special Operations Command, SOCOM is now calling this thing the lightweight machine gun medium, or the LMG-M. That's what a great name that is. Anyway, they need 5,000 of these things, and it's a belt fed, and it can fire out to 2,000 meters. They say yards, but you know what I'm talking about. And apparently the Marine Corps is interested in it. It fires an 8.6 millimeter round and it weighs 21 pounds. And I don't know. It doesn't seem, you know, divest. If you're not going to use the 7.62 at this mounted level. Now, if you want to mount this thing, I don't care. It can weigh 1,000 pounds. Who cares? It's mounted. But if you're going to carry a machine gun around, and what did I say? This thing weighs 21 pounds, and there's got to be a better way. And 338, 8.6 millimeter, especially after you're going to go to 6.8, that doesn't make any sense to me. Why the big army would do that. When I say big army, I mean the brigade combat teams. Anyway, I saw an article and an ad and a sign, believe it or not, of this another company called FN, Fabrique Nationale. They make the M240, which we know. They also make the saw, which I thought they did. I said that last week or last episode, but they do. They got this new machine gun called the FN Evoli. Evolus. E-V-O-L-Y-S. Evolus. FN Evolus. Lightweight machine gun. The name's horrible. Evolus. I mean, they could have given me $50. I'd give them a better name than that. But anyway, that's the name they're using. This is an incredible machine gun, at least from what I can see in the stats, because it weighs 13.5 pounds and 7.62. It also comes in a 5.56 version, which is what the saw was, at 10.5 pounds. That's unbelievable. What's really unbelievable is a 13.5 pound 7.62 machine gun. And what else is good about this thing? It's got a long rail. It's got a long top for a rail, a Picatinny rail, much longer than the M240. And one of the things about the M240, it was made in, you know, back in the 90s, you know, when the rail system first came about. And it's got a super small feed tray cover, the M240. And like any current automatic weapon in the U.S. Army, you got to open up the feed tray cover. It's like on a lever. You open it up, you put the rounds in, you close it, and that's how you load it. Well, this Evolus, FN Evolus, it's got a long top rail, and you load it from the side, so you don't open up and close the feed tray cover. Because when you close that feed tray cover, it, you know, you got to use some force to close it. And if you've got an optic on there, which currently that's how you use the saw on the 240, you put an optic on that feed tray cover because it's got the rail, and when you slam that cover shut, you're stressing out that optic. Well, they've solved that by now you load it from the side, which is unbelievable. So that's a feature. So let me start at the beginning. It's got 13.5 pounds at 7.62. It's got a long top rail. It's got side loading design. There's no feed tray cover. It has an automatic last link ejection. So on the 240 and the saw and, you know, most machine guns that the Army has, when you fire that last round, the link stays in the feedway. So you got to pull the cocking, you got to pull the bolt in the rear, open up the feed tray cover, and get rid of that link that it leaves behind before you load another one. This one here ejects it, which is pretty darn good. It's got a speed reload. And what I think that means, it's got a self-correcting load. So if you put on the current machine guns, you have to load that thing exactly right. You have to put it on the feedway, close the feed tray cover. If you don't, the feed tray cover won't close. But if you do manage to jam it in there and the feed tray cover closes, you're going to have a misfire because the round is not loaded properly. Well, here, this has got a self-correcting loading. So you stick it in there and it makes sure it's loaded. So when you start to get the action of the machine gun, it'll make sure it's loaded for you. That's unbelievable. It's ambidextrous, which means a lefty and a righty could use it with no problem. Again, it's got a lateral feed system, so there's no top feed system like a feed tray cover. And it doesn't have a suppressor. A lot of the weapons that you're seeing now, you'll see when you see the XM5 and the XM250, they have suppressors on them. And I think even the M240, they're experimenting with suppressors. This thing here doesn't need a suppressor. I think it'll take one, but I don't think you're going to need one. And it's got semi-auto, which means you pull the trigger and it shoots one round. Or it's got full automatic, which you're going to need for a machine gun. And there was something else I wanted to talk about. Well, it's got an adjustable butt stack, you know, back and, you know, it for length and height, which is pretty cool. So to me, and I don't know, I've never seen one. I've never fired one. I've never even, you know, I've seen a picture of one. That's it. This FN Evolus, horrible name, but it looks like they got a good machine gun. But it might be too little too late for these guys. If I was FN, I would be trying to figure out how to fire 6.8. That's what I would be doing. Because if you can make a 6.8 13.5 machine gun, well, why would you do that? You've already got that, don't you, with the XM250. If the Army wants to keep 7.62, a medium machine gun, then I would seriously look at this thing here, and I would dump the 240 Lima and go for this. But that's just me. Anyway, so I like talking about machine guns. Hopefully we get more stories on machine guns. But there you go. You decide. If you want to look at this machine gun, I'm sure FN's got a nice website. I think that's where I saw it. I think I even went to YouTube and typed in FN Evolvi, Evolis. Evolys. So there you have it. So kind of a summary. We talked about radars and we talked about machine guns. I mean, that's a pretty darn good episode right there. Radars and machine guns. We can make a movie about that. That's it, man. I'm at 25 minutes. I went kind of long last episode. But we had a lot to talk about, right? And there's more stuff going to follow on the markups. Remember we talked about the markups for the House Armed Service Committee? I guess there's a big to-do happening on 22 June with the House for defense budget. And I think that the Senate's going to start looking into it also. So we'll probably have some good articles and good news coming out of that. So if you're into this kind of stuff, stay tuned for that. Or you can check it out for yourself. I'll be looking into it for everybody, me and you. All right, I guess that's it. 26 minutes. So if you were walking today, you got a couple miles in with the podcast. So I hope you're out there doing your fitness, taking your phone with you, dialing into the podcast, getting in some exercise. Maybe you're waiting on a plane, right? You got to check in 30 minutes early until they start boarding. Listen to the podcast while you're doing that. So if you are listening, no matter where it is, the airport or when you're walking, thanks for all the support for the podcast. I appreciate it. Thanks for all the follows on Twitter. I appreciate that. Remember, you can find us on Twitter at defense_podcast. And of course, if you can find that on Twitter, then you can definitely find the podcast because we advertise the podcast on Twitter. So I guess that's it. 26 minutes, 55 seconds. A good less than 30 minutes. So we are definitely going to be probably the best defense commentary in 30 minutes or less today. So thank you for all the follows and all the support. And I think that's it. Episode 22 is in the books. Let me double check. I didn't leave anything out. That's it. Episode 22 or 23. I can't remember. I think it's episode 23 in the books. So thank you very much and good night.